Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back, 17th of the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating the 15th anniversary of David Dossie's membership in our Brain Trust. Hey, David, happy anniversary, baby.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
How about that? 15 years. Pretty exciting, huh?
Hard to believe.
I know you're all on Twitter about that, aren't you? Being able hanging out with me for 15 years. It doesn't get any better than this, right?
That's right.
And that's the story I'm sticking to.
Career.
Well, we couldn't do without you, and I'm glad you're here. And we've done a great job of keeping us informed over the last 15 years. And let's do 15 more. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. It's been a lot of fun.
Let's rock. So intellectual property, folks, that's David's beat. He's an attorney, a specialist in that. They used to call them patent attorneys. Now their job is so much more with all the digital assets that we have these days. He's my intellectual property attorney, full disclosure. Invention-protection.com, that's your website, right?
That's right.
All right, so check that out, folks. So we're talking about trademarks and trade secrets. And you've got some great stories to tell us about blunders that people made when they didn't protect their trademarks, when they thought they were getting a trademark in an acquisition, and it turns out they didn't. Tell us about it.
Well, that's one of the most common scenarios of things actually just blowing up is when a company is looking to acquire the rights of another company, and they make assumptions and assume that, well, this company's been using their trademark for a long time, and don't fully dive into what type of restrictions has that company agreed to regarding their trademarks in the past. And the classic example of this is back in the late 90s, a company called Vickers owned both Rolls-Royce and Bentley, and they were looking to sell those brands and their factories. And Volkswagen was interested, and BMW was interested. And ultimately, Volkswagen, you know, sweetened the deal a little bit, so they had agreed to sell Rolls-Royce and Bentley to Volkswagen. Well, turns out that in the past, the Rolls-Royce company had an aerospace division and an automotive division. And, and in, like, the early 70s, the aircraft company ended up with all the rights to the Rolls-Royce name, and they had essentially an agreement where they had to consent to any changes regarding the changes of the automotive brand. So apparently they had a disdain for Volkswagen and were more fans of BMW, and BMW worked out some deal to buy the rights to the trademarks.
Wow. Bought it right out from under them. Bought it right out under their nose, didn't they? Bought it right under their nose,
right,
at Volkswagen.
And, well, and Volkswagen was paying $700 to $900 million for the company, whereas BMW came in and I think paid around $70 million for the rights to the trademark.
And Rolls Royce isn't very good if you can't use the name, can it? I mean, that's what people buy it for. A leather seat is a leather seat.
Well,
you know, sheet metal is sheet metal. But that Rolls Royce name, that double R, that's the key, isn't it?
Well, sure, sure. That how much of that $700 to $900 million was equity in equipment and plant? You know, a few hundred million, maybe. I think a lot of it was the brand equity associated with the names and trademarks. So ultimately, of course, BMW, Volkswagen end up in litigation over this, and after a long battle, essentially, Volkswagen had to agree that if they could continue using the Rolls-Royce trademark for roughly 5 years, that after that five-year period, they would walk away with it. BMW would exclusively own the Rolls-Royce trademark. Volkswagen could use and pursue Bentley, but they were essentially out of the Rolls-Royce market.
Wow.
And, you know, this was a just a huge embarrassment, and Volkswagen really downplayed it and never did want to admit this was a mistake.
What a joke.
Most people widely accept.
So let's talk about the lesson, David, for our folks. So you're going to buy a neighbor. You're going to buy a neighboring business, a competitor maybe, or a company in the next town over that does what you do, and you're buying them. You're going to buy the assets. You're not going to buy the stock. So, but then you find out that tied up in the stock is the name of the company, or the phone number, or the customer list, right? Or some process that they were using that you didn't even know that was all tied up in it that they owned. You got to ask these questions, don't you?
Well, the most common is you're buying a brand or another company hoping to either wrap it into your company or use that as an expansion source to really jump and expand across the United States. And you need to know, they could very well have agreed years ago not to expand into certain markets with respect to certain services to avoid a lawsuit, or worked out a consent agreement. And a good case of that actually is, you've heard of Pine Sol cleaning detergent, and you've heard of Lysol cleaning stuff. And Clorox bought Pine Sol at one point and intended to use the Pine Sol trademark on a whole wide variety of products.
Right.
And lo and behold, after the sale went through, turns out that there was a consent agreement that was 30 years old that basically had pinned their use of Pine Sol down to a very specific grouping of products, so they could not expand.
We're not able to use that as they expected. So, folks, when you're buying a business, when you're making that purchase, you got to ask broad questions. And I want to talk some more about those questions after the break with our good friend David Dossie. Stay with us. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes.
Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.